Welcome to SelfDiscoveryWisdom.com, formerly known as Self Discovery Media. On these podcasts, you're going to hear people who speak from the heart. They've taken the journey in life. Many things have happened to them, but they've changed it to happening for them. And in their strength, their courage, they've discovered their abilities and their wisdom, and they are now sharing it here with you. Do enjoy each show. We bring it to you with love and knowing that it's going to help you on your journey of life. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Choose Positive Living right here on selfdiscoverywisdom.com. I'm your host, Sarah Troy. My wonderful guest today is Stephanie Seek. What are we going to be talking about? Well, we're going to be talking about a number of things. Her mission to help people understand that they can be the creators of their own lives by loving themselves more. And her book is called The Love Compass. And I think we all need that guide to finding authentic love. And I always say that authentic love starts with you. You've got to be the love you seek so others know how to love you. And she says that today we're going to be speaking about her book and how we often fall into the trap of letting life happen to us instead of designing our lives to be deliberate creators. She shares how her upbringing, societal norms, lack of self-love, and other expectations can lead us away from our authentic selves, and how to never, it's never too late to pause, realign, and become the creator of your life and what you really do want. Listen for practical guidance on how you can begin to redesign your life at any age and receive inspiration about why you deserve to create your life of love. Ah, yes, music to my ears, absolutely. You know, we're all looking to be loved, but I think the first, what we don't understand and what we're not taught, is the love of self first. And we really need to learn how to love ourselves first, don't we? Welcome to the show, hun.
Thank you. Thank you, Sarah, for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Love is that word that we throw around, right? And very often it doesn't, you know, or it is considered an emotion, but we really don't understand the power of love, just how powerful it really is. And that when we step into love, whether it's love of self, love of a life that we want for ourselves, the empowerment of that love sets up the heart generator, which keeps on pouring out love. But we've got to find our own pathway to what that love means for us, don't we?
Yes, we do, Sarah. And many times, depending on how we're raised, whether it be in certain religious beliefs or the culture of our family, or just looking around as we are children and growing up and looking at our parental relations, we think sometimes that love is outside of us.
Yes.
And we have to go grab it and get it. And in order to feel love, we must find that partner or, you know, a special friendship, or our mom or our dad must give. And I think our big life's journey is to learn, how do I create that love within myself? Because yes, we are all truly gifted with that North Star. You know, the North on your compass is your self-love.
It's funny now, that is the second day that I've had someone mention North Star. And it seems to be kind of that we all need to aim somewhere, don't we? You know, otherwise we're aimless, we're flapping in the wind. We need something to aim at. And very often we can't see what that is because we don't feel worthy of it. Or that can never happen to us, right? Or that can never happen in my life. Who do I think I am, right? And it's like, who do you think you are? You're awesome. You're flawsome. You're abundant, waiting to be discovered.
That's right. Sometimes we don't learn that until midlife,
yes,
very late in life. You know, I had the experience of, luckily, being raised by wonderful parents who told me that I could be anything I wanted to be. Yet, I still found ways to hold myself back.
Yes.
I set what I would consider to be very strong goals.
Mm.
And a lot of us do this. We write down our goals and they are a point in time and achievement. I work with many young women who say, you know, I want to be married by the age of 30. I want to have babies by the age of 35 and a six-figure career. What the difference is between the goals we set for ourselves and the potential that we could have is intention.
Yes.
So how do we become intentional creators of the life and the love we want, instead of, like you said at the beginning, having it just happen to us?
Yes.
And there are some ways that I have learned through some trial and error to create that intentionally.
And also allow your intentions to change along the way, because as you grow from within and you discover who you really are and what your aptitudes are and what you really want out of life, then allow your attention to take a different road. You know, don't be so fixated. No, I've got to do this by this date and that's that. And then you're missing really what you were really designed for, and you haven't really stepped into your true intention because you're dictating rather than intending.
Well, I really like how you said that. I do write about that in my book, which is Guidance for Finding Love, is paying attention to the road signs
Yes.
on your journey.
Yes.
Because when we start the car, if we're only focused on the end point, we can run a stop sign.
Yep.
We can miss the yield. We can miss all those red, yellow, green flags along the way that are actually our intention. That's our soul speaking to us.
Yes.
I gave a talk recently to a group of women about dating and how oftentimes women will sit across the table from a man, and if we like him, in our minds, we might fast forward to the wedding or to the engagement. And I said, no, you need to actually pay attention. What are the words coming out of his mouth? For example, if he makes a side comment, oh, I don't really like dogs, or I don't have a great relationship with my mother. Maybe that's a yield sign that
yes.
we need to stop and listen and say, well, tell me more.
Yeah.
And when we are too focused on the end,
yeah.
we miss those questions.
Or too focused on the package.
That's
Right.
correct.
You
Oh,
know,
yeah.
Or good looking, this and that, drives a nice car. You know, it's a kind of reminds me when I lived in South Africa, we had a beach and a lot of people, it was a kind of a trend for what girls said at the time. Hello, how are you? What car do you drive? How much do you make? What? And it was like they were shopping, you know, for the wrong things. And that's the
Right.
thing is, you know, we would all love to have security in a relationship. We all like to have security in our lives. We all want to know that we can branch out securely. But that word securely is challenged from time to time, isn't it?
It sure is. And even women that I've talked to who they've been divorced, and I will share with your listeners that I have been married and divorced twice, learned a lot of lessons through that, is that when we are paying attention to the list of things.
Yes.
So I need him to be handsome. I need him to drive this car. I need him to be a six-figure earner. We're missing how we want to feel.
Yes.
And we stay or we leave relationships
yes.
based on how we feel. So I advise both women and men, when you're out there trying to connect with the love of your life, make a list instead of how do I want to feel? I want to feel secure. I want to feel cherished. I want to feel warm and safe. Focus on the feelings rather than the characteristics of the person.
The characteristics will change, right?
Yes, they
will
will.
change all the time. But when you trust the feeling, right, that feeling is when, and we've also got to distinguish that feeling. There's that hot and heavy feeling of that chemistry, right? You can't keep your hands off each other. But there's that also that feeling, this is my best friend. I can trust this person with anything. I can give him the gift of my vulnerability in
Right.
trust. That is the big one. That's where we want to feel. Do I feel safe giving him my vulnerability? That takes time of navigating with each other, exploring with each other, but the willing to feel. And if something comes up you don't like, don't immediately shut down, but question, because maybe they're unaware of it. I mean, please don't assume, ask.
That's right. And I find that actually both in business and in our personal lives, because I know there are a lot of business and entrepreneur listening to you today and to us, is that, you know, some of us are, we excel at asking questions in
yes.
business. I was able to create a very successful sales career yet my marriages kept falling apart. Why is it that I could be so inquisitive and ask the tough questions in a business partnership, but not in a relationship? And I came to learn that I was attracting partners and creating this for myself where it wasn't safe to ask.
Yes.
And that is the test of a true heart match, is when you ask the question, are they willing to open up and share it from a non-defensive, low ego place? Are they also willing to seek to understand where you're coming from? And there is a major yield sign, everyone, if you ask those questions and you get the shield put up, you get defensiveness. That's an excellent way. You know, we have to test our business partnerships. We also have to test our personal relationships. Are we still in sync with each other?
And I have often said this, that really you have to look at your relationships as a business. If you don't invest in it, if you don't pay attention to it, if you don't constantly feed it, you're not going to get anything out of it. We're inclined to look at our relationships as very, very different. Well, yes, the format may be a little different because you have other employees and you're not employing your children yet. So but we have to look at the same type of approach. What works in my business? Questioning, allowing people feel safe to ask questions, and allowing an environment where people feel they're a part of it and they want to grow within it, not looking for the next best job to go to, people being excited about coming to work. You want that in a relationship, right? You want excitement at the end of the day to see each other. You want to know that you can plan and see a future together. You want to know that you can have a bad day with someone and somebody else will pick up the slack. And so we really do have to put somewhat of a business cap on in a relationship, don't we?
We do. And I love the word investing because it's those daily choices we make in the present moment to invest in personal or business relationships. And it does all go back to our theme today, Sarah, of self-love. Because when our self-love well is full, we have the capacity to find the courage to maybe ask those tough questions because we know we're rooted in a sense of self-love that, you know, a mantra to say to yourself is, I am love. I was created from love and I am love. Because then those questions that you ask, the curiosity, maybe sometimes intense relationship moments, are then coming from a place of love rather from lack.
Yes.
And a lot of places where relationships derail is when our ego gets in the way, because ego comes from a place of lack. What do I not have? What could this person be trying to get out of me or get from me? When you are in a place of self-love, if someone asks you a question that requires you to dig deep, then you receive it from a loving place and you can give it from a loving place. And that's what a lot of relationships, unfortunately, lack. Or you have one partner who is full of self-love and who really tries. And then you have another partner who may have had some trauma in their past, who just haven't been able to move past it. And that's when we really see how much self-love we're giving ourselves when we get into conflict.
This is, you know, it's the same approach when you go on a date. The last thing you do is talk about your ex. Right. Like, yes, look, I am divorced. It didn't work. That's fine. You know, a few red flags there, but this is about us in the present. And, you know, people are so busy, like, are you like my ex? And they're busy looking for the same things that they're not looking at what the person truly is, but kind of painting an image of what they don't want.
Oh, I love that you brought that up, because what happens is we're living in the past and projecting to the future when dates or any kind of relationship conversation goes that way, instead of co-creating with that person in the present.
Yes.
And we really, in order to create what the life that you dream of and the love that you deserve, you have to work to drop the past story because the past is truly in the past. Now, sometimes there's healing we need to do. Yep. We need to understand, why did I act that way? Why did the other person act that way? Why did I attract that situation? But then let that go. Forgive ourselves, forgive the pain of the past. And really, to keep it fun, when you're on a date, focus, be in the present, have fun, ask the whys, be curious. And no matter where we practice that in our love lives, in our family lives, with our parents, with our siblings, and then in our business lives, when we're present is where the magic happens, because that's where we get inspired ideas and we really can test if we have a connection with that person.
You know, it always used to say, my mother used to say to me, is that to find out the true nature of a person is play Monopoly with them.
That's funny.
Watch them play a game. Are they competitive? Are they cutthroat? You know, are they going to win at any cost? You know, that, or they're a sore loser. And you know, there's lots of little things that you can do that, you know, the charisma is turned up full volume when you're on that first date. But there's a lot of little other things that you can do to find out what the true character is. All right. And like, pay attention to them. You may be, oh, I really am George. It's really sexy. But, and when those buts start coming up, how big are those buts? If it's a little but and it really is just an idiosyncrasy that you can deal with, that's fine. You've got them too. But if it's a but that you keep repeating, that you keep going back to that but, then this is a red flag that maybe this person is not for you. And stop being so chasing of, I need to be loved and I want to be loved and in a relationship, that I'm going to ignore all those things that say this is not the one for you.
Oh, that's spot on, Sarah, because when we are chasing and we start to get in that mode of desperation, even for love, what we're actually doing is we're people pleasing.
Yes.
Because we are willing to take anything you say and figure out a way to accommodate that. Mm. I did that. Oh, in my first marriage, my ex-husband and I have a wonderful co-parenting relationship with our daughter. I'm very happy to say that 21 years later. Mm-hmm. But at the time, I would accommodate some of his social awkwardness.
Yes.
And some of the things he would say that would make me very uncomfortable when we were on dates with other people or in groups. That was my spirit saying, Stephanie, this is probably not a match. You're a very social person. You're out in the world a lot. Mm-hmm. But instead, I people pleased, I accommodated, and I shrunk myself so that he could fit in. Yeah. And I did a disservice to him because he needed to be with someone who loved him for who he was and how he showed up in the world. And I did a disservice to myself.
Yes.
So a lot of women I coach, they come to me because they've been trying to fit in to this image that they thought they would have in a relationship, and they accommodate little steps throughout the dating process. Then they get married and things blow up and they wonder why.
Exactly. If the same goes, if you're both, you know, social butterflies, right? Yes. If you're both people that, you know, are very, and that's fine if you're both and you recognize each other and that is what you both love to do and you honor each other. But what tends to happen a lot of the time is competitiveness. Of wanting to be more popular than the other person is being. And that is also another thing to look at. Yes, it's wonderful this person loves to go out and have parties and do this and that. But is there something there that says, you know, no, the ego is stepping in here and the graciousness isn't?
I'm glad you brought that up, because I can remember vividly with one of my ex-husbands, we would go to parties and he wouldn't acknowledge me for the entire party, wouldn't even make eye contact across the room.
Oh my gosh.
And that is a sign that you're actually not in a partnership, a true partnership. In a partnership, you look out for each other. Yes. You are co-creating a fun experience together. You're checking in with each other. How are you? Yes, we can be independent, separate individuals. And I'm going to go talk to the gals and you might go talk to the guys, but we're going to check in with each other.
Yeah.
And when we're dating and when we're exploring relationships, I actually think it's valid to test. Let's go to a party.
Yes.
And I'm going to observe, how does he or she treat me in that social setting?
Yeah.
Because what can happen socially versus what happens inside four walls can be very different experiences, right?
Very different. And this is, you know, you may fall in love with somebody instantly. Now, is that just chemistry, right? Or people are looking for someone to complete them. No, you want somebody to compliment you, right? Not complete you. And don't get so caught up in the hot and heavy or the desire to have put a ring on it, you know, and it is just take the time to look at how you are in certain situations. Now, a lot of the time, you can't talk to men about it because he, you know, defense goes up. And so I always found that writing, now first write your angst out, everything that you're feeling, write it out, read it, and then take what you really want to say that's more rational and logical, and then have them read that. And then say to them, when you're ready, we can talk about this. But you know, what happens so much in relationships is one's on the defense, the other's on the defense, and volcanic eruption happens. And really, you kind of forgot what you were arguing about,
That's right.
right? So
That's right.
it's that thing of take a breath or walk away, you know, and approach it from calm heads, because you can have some very good relationships that go completely south because you don't know how to approach something without either the ego or the angst coming up.
That's right. And again, when you have a place of self-love, that strong well of love, if you put it into writing, decide to walk away, we're going to decompress, you need to remind yourself, look, I am a loving being. I know this person across from me was also made from love.
Yes.
We might not see eye to eye, but I'm going to approach this conversation from that loving place, from a place of concern. And I'll give you an example. So I've been happily in a relationship with a man for 3 years. He's a bit of a rocker and an actor, and he plays many late night live shows with his band. The old Stephanie would have been very insecure about not being at the show and the ladies coming up
Yes.
to him after the show, right? I have learned that I am worthy of love. I'm something special. He's chosen to be with me. Therefore, at the end of the night, when we hopefully get to text or chat around 1 a.m., my first reaction isn't going to be, oh, well, what women were there?
Yes.
Because a lot of women would do that.
Yes.
And I have done that in the past. Instead, my reaction is, how was the show? Tell me all about it. So, in having self-love and confidence for me, I'm also giving him the gift of feeling confident. So he doesn't need that affirmation from other women. He wants to get off stage and call me, and he does. So I want to point out to our listeners today, the more you take a risk of just saying, look, I'm going to let my ego go to the side. I'm going to put my insecurities to the side. I'm going to show up from a loving place. I'm going to trust that you, my partner, are also showing up from a loving place. You're giving them a gift. You're giving them that energy they cannot see to say, wow, this is someone I really want to be with because she's full, she's abundant. And a man might not know how to articulate that necessarily. And sometimes we women also don't, but you can feel that energy.
That's the point, right? You can feel it. You know, and I think is understanding if you are a social person or a loving person. You know, the big argument that I got is that I was just too kind and loving towards people. And so he always thought I was hitting on other men. And it's like, no, I'm having a conversation, right? I'm not looking at the sexual of the man. I'm having a conversation with a human being. I am an exuberant person. I'm actually an introvert, but can be exuberant at other times. And it was, I don't look at people as whether they're women or men in the sense of, huh, no, it is, I'm engaged with the person. And he always got so utterly insecure about that. And so I started suppressing my love, suppressing my interactions. And so what I was doing was suppressing the very essence of me. Right. And I lost myself for quite a long time. And it took a long time to come back out again and trust that love and to realize I am this. I can't be anything else but this. And that it's not my issue if he can't cope with it. Right. And we need to have somebody that feels secure in our love arena, that loves us because of the love arena, and doesn't feel, you know, insecure or jealous or anything like that, because we need more love in the world and we need people to be more loving.
Oh, beautifully said. We have been living parallel lives, Sarah, because I did the same thing. I was told I was just too much. You know, you're too positive, you're too sunny, you're whatever. And I realized, you know, you're not my person if you think I'm too much. And so much yes. like you, Sarah, I started to suppress myself mm-hmm. and become a different person. And in that situation, for example, your ex-husband was probably feeling some insecurity because he wasn't loving himself enough to know I bring all these gifts to Sarah and she's fine. She's just off talking and being Sarah. She's yeah. having a wonderful time. And
we'll hear all about it at the end of the night where we will right. share stories. Yes,
exactly. Yeah. And you know, what a joy that is when yes. you can find a relationship where you can celebrate the night together mm. or the event together. You want to be with someone who celebrates you.
Yes.
So when you're dating, when you're creating this new love life for yourself, look and see if you share an accomplishment from your workday or something great happened in your family, does your love interest celebrate with you mm. or do they bring you down a notch right. or instead switch to talking about something they accomplished? If they cannot be generous in celebration, that's an indicator that you might be in the wrong match.
Right. I think kind of the common thing we're saying here is don't rush into things, right? Don't rush into things. I gave this person 2 years of my life. I don't want to give the next person that. Well, no, because you gave the wrong you for 2 years to this person, right? And it's like when you know how to look for things, when you know how to see those reactions, whether there is that commonality between you, that connection between you, that's going to unravel over time and over different situations. Take the time to get to know each other. And just yes. because maybe there's something you don't like what they do, you know, is it a deal breaker? Is it something you need to bring up and say, you know, there is a habit that you have of doing this and it just makes me feel either insecure or upsets me. Can we talk about it? Right? Because right. maybe they're unaware. Maybe you're unaware of things that you do that annoy them. You know, it isn't an attack. It's an observation that has a reaction. Learn to speak with each other without constantly being on the defense.
And that's where, whether you are in a relationship or you are looking, make that list of how you want to feel
yes.
in your partnership. Because as we talked about, your North Star mm-hmm. is how you need to feel, how yeah. you need to feel safe and loved and cherished. And we all have different love languages. You know, mm-hmm. there've been many, many talks about that in the wonderful book by Gary Chapman, but use that. So if you've had a conflict or an argument, take out that list, you know, mm-hmm. write it somewhere in a journal, no matter what stage of a relationship you're yes. in right now, have that, revisit it and use that to say, I use this with my boyfriend. If something happens and we've had a conflict, I will go back to my list. My number one criteria, and he knows this, is to feel safe because yes. I didn't feel safe in my yes. previous marriages. So I will use that. And instead of him feeling attacked, mm-hmm. I'll say, Joe, I think you remember my number one criteria in a relationship is to feel safe. And when you did this, mm-hmm. I actually didn't feel safe. Can we talk about that?
Yeah.
That way you have the words.
Yes.
I think a lot of times we don't know the right words to say. So some people will slip into silent treatment. Mm-hmm. Some will slip into fighting and violent words. Mm-hmm. Go to your list. Use the list, the subject of I needed to feel this. And when you did this, I didn't feel that way anymore. Because that also feeds our self-love. That says, hey, I'm worthy of being loved. And it tells our partner we're worthy of being loved. And I want to add, use this at work too. Mm. You might not be able to talk to your boss the way you talk to your partner, but you could talk to your manager and say, when you know, something I love about working here is that we have a collaborative culture. But when you came to me with this feedback and the way you delivered it, it didn't feel collaborative. I didn't like the way that felt.
Yeah.
Could we talk about that?
Big thing that you're talking about, the way it felt, we've also got to remember the tone we take when we're talking to someone. Is it defensive? Is it accusatory? Right? We need to collect ourselves. Never come at that until you've calmed down, and always come with an inviting tone of inquiry, not accusation.
Yes. And what you can do to watch your tone is, I give everyone I work with this visualization exercise. I ask them to say, what's your favorite color? What color makes you feel invigorated? Before any conflict, I want you to close your eyes and take three deep breaths and exhales and visualize your color. For me, it's gold, golden. So when I'm going into a precarious situation, I sit in the car. Like this, I can recall sometimes with family members, I didn't exactly want to walk in the house because I knew there was a conflict we needed to work through. I'd sit in the car and take my deep breaths, envision the golden light, both loving me and protecting me. Mm-hmm. And then when you walk in, you're leading with heart energy. It changes the expression on your face. Mm-hmm. It changes your tone, as you said, Sarah, and it makes for a better, healthier conversation.
Exactly. We're all in discovery of ourselves, right? That self-discovery is going to be to the day you die. And we want it to be, because we don't want to think status quo, this is all there is. And there is always room for exploration of wonderment right to the very, very end. And it's, we want to know that we feel safe to evolve and to ask questions and to discover. And sometimes you're going to do it on your own within a relationship, because that's your journey right now. Sometimes it's a journey you do together. But that support of each other is so utterly important of, you know, I'm feeling a bit lost in my career right now. I don't know where I need to go. I need to explore this. And you, the partner go, explore, I've got your back, right? And vice versa. It's letting know that, you know, this horrible statement, you're not the woman I married. No, you're not. You've evolved, hopefully. You've grown. Yes. And if their person has become complacent and not grown with you, then that means there's an enormous divide between you. So be encouraging to one another on our solo journey, because the better we become within ourselves, the more abundance we're bringing to the relationship.
Oh, you're so spot on with that. We really do change. And where I see the greatest sadness in talking with people about where they're at or they hit a crisis point is because they haven't given themselves the grace to change.
Yes.
They have stuck with these expectations. And you have 50-year-old women and men who are still living to please a parent. I worked with a woman who was 45 years old, an award-winning salesperson in her profession. And we uncovered that she was still trying to please her dad, because when she was little, her dad told her that women could only be teachers and nurses and would never succeed in the business world.
Right.
And she didn't consciously realize as a 45-year-old woman that she was still trying to please that, that not
prove
norm,
to him.
But
yes,
to prove it. That's right. Yeah. So we need to give ourselves the grace to change. Mm-hmm. And when you start to feel that, this doesn't feel good anymore, the relationship doesn't feel good, the job doesn't feel good, have the courage, find the courage to say, you know, I'm meant to have a joyful life. What can I do to get to the next best feeling? So if you're in a fight with a loved one, or you're feeling conflict, or you're just feeling stuck, just not feeling the joy, say, okay, I feel stuck. I might not be able to go from stuck to just complete joy, but how can I get to hope?
Yeah.
And maybe I can get to hope by asking my partner to dinner and having this loving conversation. I love you, but I feel like we're in two different places. What can we do to close the gap? What's a new adventure we could have together?
Yeah. We all get lost in ourselves somewhere along the line. Something happens, part of the growth thing, maybe a cosmic 2x4, whatever, you know, we get that. And that can have an effect on your relationship at that time. You are disconnected within yourself. You're disconglobulated. And it's got really nothing to do with your partner. It isn't how you feel really with them. It's how you feel within yourself. And this is where you need your loving partner to see this is what you're going through. And literally to hold your hand and say, I'm there for you. What can I do? I'm there for you. And allow that person to take that journey to find, to equilibrize themselves and put themselves back. And you just being there as a partner, I'm there for you. I'll take up the slack. Let me know if you need space. Let me know if you need me. I'm there for you. Are golden words of support that allows you, gives you permission to I can go through this exploration of myself, knowing I'm not going to lose him. He understands I'm just trying to find myself, right? And that's the kind of relationship we all are looking for, when someone says, I've got you.
That's right. And when we speak, Sarah, from a heart-centered place, and we look into our partner's eyes and we say, I need this. I need your help.
Yeah.
If you are with someone who is whole of body and mind, who's sound of body and mind, and you respect and they respect you, they will respond. So, you know, many of us go through raising children and busy careers, and we're passing our partner in the night, and we forget to have these really important conversations. Again, back to being present. We'll sweep things under the rug and say, oh, I'm busy with the kids.
Yeah.
I'll have this difficult conversation tomorrow. And then tomorrow becomes next week and next month. And then resentments build. Please, please give your partner a chance to hear you come from a loving place. And here's a tip. Ask your partner, is this a good time to talk?
Yeah.
A lot of us make the mistake of, we finally work up the courage, this is the moment, and our partner's literally in the middle of something that's important to them. Maybe they're working, or yeah, they're watching a show that they love.
Decompressing.
Yes.
Yes.
We don't know what perfect timing is. Mm-hmm. We need to ask, is this a good time? I have something important on my heart that I'd like to talk to you about. Yeah. And then if you're with the right person, they will be receptive. Now, many of us have been in toxic relationships where no matter how hard we try, no matter how much we approach this person with love, they just couldn't get to a place of loving us back.
Right.
Then, Sarah, we can make a faster decision to say, this is not the right relationship for me. And we've both seen women, and I've done it myself, stay in a relationship far too long when we had exhausted every avenue.
Yeah, I know. And it's, and you're always making excuses, you know, like it was actually my children that came to me and saw me again on a Saturday night at home alone. And they said, this is ridiculous. You've got to divorce him. And I was kind of quite shocked. And then I said, but I'm waiting for Tasha to finish school. And she was sitting next to me. I think she was 12 or 13 at the time. She said, forget that. We can survive without him. And it was the permission of my children and the encouragement of my children that I asked for the divorce, because I was under the assumption that it was only me in pain. Right.
Yes.
And what I didn't take into account was my pain then became the kids' pain.
Yes.
I didn't take into account the volatile life that they were living in.
Right.
And because you think that, oh, I'm taking it all on, it's just me. No, it isn't. It's a family dynamic. And if it's toxic, then that toxicity is going to go into the children. Maybe they'll repeat that same relationship, or maybe it's a trauma that you're imposing upon them. Right. So we've got to understand, when we're in a relationship and it's not working and you've tried and the other person is not willing to meet you, you know, on counseling or doing anything, right, that this is the time to call it quits, no matter the age or the situation with the children, because it's more detrimental to you and the children on the long run.
Oh, yes.
It was a hard lesson for me. I wish I'd learned it earlier, but you know.
Well, how wonderful that your children were so wise. Children are so smart. They read the energy in the room.
Yes,
they just know. And we do benefit them by living our authentic selves and showing them, look, I have enough love for myself to know that this is not healthy. You're modeling a much better scenario for your child to say, I choose love for me.
Yes.
And therefore, if my oxygen mask is on and I can breathe again, I can be a better parent to you too.
Yes.
And oftentimes, you know, there's been so much enlightenment around co-parenting and parenting from a conscious place after divorce. It's more normal now. It doesn't have to be adversarial.
Right.
So I want everyone to believe in the possibility that something can be new, and not to buy into the old stories that divorce is bad and your children will be ruined. Believe in the possibility that you can show them a new way, not just for yourself, but for your ex-spouse, because at one time you did love each other and it did work. let that spouse go free so that he or she can also find love and model, hopefully, a better version of love for your children. You know, your children were the mirror for your story, Sarah, and why you needed to leave. Mine, I was in Las Vegas at a business conference, and I knew my marriage was over, but I was hanging on and hanging on because my children were very, very young. Mm-hmm. And I was in this group setting, and the man next to me, who was a friend, the food had been put at the table for dinner in family, kind of a family style. And he picked up the bowl and he went to serve me some rice out of the bowl. And he said, "How much would you like?" I had to leave the table. I went to the bathroom and started crying my eyes out in the middle of a business dinner because I realized for 10 years, my husband had never done anything like that. He had never actually like served me. Mm-hmm. And that was my mirror to say, this is done. I got to love myself better.
Yeah. And it's always hard when you have children, right? Because they are your responsibility. And I think it's also really irresponsible of the parents to use the children as pawns and turn them against each other. That is just below the belt. Your issue is with each other. You do not bring the children into it. And if the children are young, it is your duty to make sure the children know they didn't do this. Right. This is nothing to do with them. You're sorry that you're breaking it up, but now it just means extended, right? You know, more personal time with dad, more personal time with mom, and you will survive this, or you'll even thrive it. So it's a question of how we approach it with the children, but we've got to be careful that they don't become the pawns, because I've seen this way too much. And the children do suffer for it. And then what you've got are these traumas and these scars, and they don't know how to conduct relationships later on. And the end of the trauma hasn't been dealt with, and they're distrusting, or they're waiting for something. And it's, if we don't take care of the problem within ourselves, you broke up, your relationship didn't work. Do the work on yourself to heal yourself, love yourself, and bring that love back into the family under its dynamics now. Don't keep throwing mud at each other and it hits the kids, because that's not going to resolve anything. It's just going to make the lawyers rich.
And that's absolutely right.
And you are not going to benefit. Nobody's going to benefit from this whatsoever. So I planted the seed with my husband that he didn't want to be with me anymore, because I knew he didn't. And just kept watering it and watering it. So when I did ask, he basically said, somebody took the control he had over me away from me. And I said, hence the reason for us now to part. He didn't leave the house for 2 years. He still stayed there in a different room until eventually said, you know, we're not going to get back together ever, ever. We're never going to get back together. And I need to stay in the house with the kids until graduation. And it's time for you to go. And at that point, he already had another woman in his life. And so he went. But I chose to be patient and water and see, because I know if I'd done it the other way, it would have ended up being that horrible, you know, War of Roses, that movie. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't want it to go that way. It had already been enough suffering. I didn't want it to go that way. So I had to be patient. And sometimes we do. We have to gauge what kind of partner we're looking at. How retaliatory are they going to be? What do you need to do to protect yourself and your children from that? So, you know, and be prepared and ask for help. Asking for help.
Yes, don't go it alone.
No.
You'd be surprised at how compassionate others are. There's this societal expectation, especially with social media, that we should be perfect and happy all the time. Everyone has a story.
Yes.
So pick
even
those
Barbie.
Trusted- yeah.
Even
Barbie. So pick those trusted confidants and get some help and pay attention in the present. You did that, Sarah. You said, you know, it wouldn't be safe for me to ask for an abrupt exit, but I'm going to live a present moment each day and engage the temperature in the room, right?
Exactly.
And so we all have to listen to that intuition, and we only get those flashes of intuition and that connectedness with our own hearts when we're very present. So do the work of asking yourself, am I okay in this very moment? Mm-hmm. As I breathe, I got that from Eckhart Tolle, a wonderful spiritual teacher. Yeah. ask yourself, am I okay right now? Chances are you are. You're living, you're breathing, and say, what's one thing I can do to get to a better feeling place and take that step? You can do that in a toxic relationship at work too.
Yes.
A lot of people can't just quit their jobs. They need health insurance. They might need time to look for a new job, but meanwhile, they're working for a very toxic environment. So center yourself, say, am I okay today? And then what's one step I can take that moves me forward today? Maybe I create a list of how I want to feel when I'm in my work relationship. And I look at that for a few weeks. And then maybe I say, okay, how could I have a more productive conversation with those team members that don't make me feel well? But in the meantime, I'm going to update my LinkedIn profile. Yes. Just like you might start thinking about, I'm ready to dip my toe in the water of dating after a painful divorce. What's one step I can take towards connecting with love? Mm. We just have to listen to ourselves and know our pacing, because you will make the best decision that you possibly can if you listen to your heart first. You really will. And we all sometimes have regrets. We look back and say, why did I waste those years? They were not a waste. Yeah. You were always learning.
Yeah, exactly. Seeding your own possibilities as while you're waiting. I'm glad you brought Eckhart Tolle. I'm a very spiritual person. So I look at the soul compass. It's the divine presence. God, universe, spirit, source, energy, whatever you wish to call it. That is our wisdom. And it comes through the soul and it ignites with the heart in truth. And it's given to the spirit in action for our mind to have the clarity it needs when it needs it. And we only have that when we are present with self. The gift of the present is now. And that allowing that compass, that soul compass to guide you. And you will always, when your heart resonates with it, then you know it's truth. I don't need to know every sentence in what's been given to me. I just know I can trust it. I can trust giving it to my spirit. I know the clarity of what I need to do when I need to do it will be there. It's that allowing and trusting and feeling along the way. And then listening to that compass when it says, no, no, don't do it. Or this is not a good feeling, change directions. And don't try and challenge it, because I guarantee it will not work. Don't live from your head. Guarantee you'll make mistakes. But when you come from that compass and that heart, that attunement there, then it will always lead you down the right direction, even if it doesn't make sense in the moment.
I love the way you articulated that, Sarah. So beautiful, because you are right. When we get quiet and we listen to that inner voice, it's always right. Yes. When we're in our own heads too much, or we're letting the influence of other people's opinions.
Yes.
Oh boy. Some of us have very strong mothers and fathers or figures in our life who would love to tell us exactly how to live our lives, but it's our journey. It's our experience. It's our God or universe voice speaking to us and whispering. And sometimes we have to get quiet to hear it. Sometimes it's very loud.
Yes.
And the don't do that, do this. And you're right. It might not make sense. It might seem crazy on the outside. Yeah. I was terrified getting a second divorce with three girls. Mm. What was I thinking? Who would ever date me again? That was a flash that I heard that ego talking to me, but I said, I have to do it. I just do, because I know that I can love myself better. And there's someone out there. And then here I meet the love of my life at age 45. And now we're 3 years in, and I'm so glad I did it. At the time, it looked crazy. I was the only person in a huge Catholic family to get divorced once and then twice.
Twice, yes.
Scarlet letter.
I know. That was my husband. He comes from a Catholic family, and of course, he's the only one in the family to divorce, not only once, but twice. So, and by his own admittance, 24 years later, he admitted that he never should have married. He wasn't married material and he didn't treat me right. But it took that amount of years to actually say it. But that's okay. We walked our daughter down the aisle together and we see each other now and again at family events, and it says, you know, thank you for the children, but I feel nothing now, nothing at all. Though the scars are there and they always will be there. And I think that's when you are going into a new relationship after tumultuous ones, is to say, look, I do have some scars. I do have them there. And, you know, I'm hoping they're not going to be worrisome, but, you know, do expect that now and again, they may show themselves. Don't take it personally. It's just me feeling vulnerable in the moment. And it's okay to articulate that. And like trust, you know, trust yourself. That divine guidance that, you know, it's led me right in everything that I've done. But when I didn't listen to it, I led myself wrong, right? And
Yes.
our head is full of data and information that we accumulate every second of the day, right? And it's there accessible. But if we don't have the wisdom of how to use it, then we generally use it wrong. And I think that allow that a guidance to go through is along with the structure of the steps. It's a marriage of two, the rational along with the spiritual. It's the marriage of two of how to navigate how you want to feel in your own life and how you want to feel in a relationship. What steps do you need to take to put yourself in that place? And then when you meet someone, how you navigate through that relationship while never losing yourself. And so it is the tools and the skills along with the trust of the compass and the love of self. And you put the two together and it will steer you in the right way.
Beautiful summary. And I agree. Keep listening to yourself, even if it seems like no one in my family's ever done this before. No one's taken this path. No one in my career has ever done this. You know, there are so many women and men out there who completely change their careers
Yes.
or their relationships in their 40s, 50s, 60s.
Yes.
We're always growing. Thank goodness. It's never too late. Like I tell my three daughters, you can always change your mind.
And
change your mind.
I was 57 when I started on this journey 12 years ago. Right? I didn't even know what podcasting was when I was asked to join a network. And I had no idea where it was going to take me. All that I would start my own a year later, the journey be 11 years, or get to meet such awesome people like yourself along the way. So, you know, I just look at myself as a huge big yellow pages filled with some incredible connections and people that are offering such great services for us when we're ready to receive. And when we're ready to receive, that podcast, that book, that teacher will be there. But it's up to us and our own free will. And we can't help anyone until they're willing to help themselves, because you have to invest in yourself. You have to be willing to be a participant in your own healing in order to get through. And if we're not, then don't expect someone else to do it for you. They're not meant to. They've got the tools and the skills and the wisdom to help you, but you've got to apply them. So listen,
Yes.
learn, and apply.
Take your part in the driver's seat.
Mm.
Take that wheel. I'm glad you said free will.
Mm.
We are given free will. It's a gift.
Yeah.
Don't just sit in the passenger seat and expect even the divine to drive it.
Right.
You were given free will to make choices. The divine is there to give you those heart-centric guidance.
The driver's
and the insights.
License. Yeah.
That's right. I love that. That's the driver's license.
Yeah.
You're the driver. And then you decide, oh, where am I going to open a door? And I'm going to let this passenger in, and this passenger is going to guide me for this part of the journey.
Yes.
Being open to receiving is everything, especially
Absolutely.
As women. We give, give, give. We forget to say, what can I receive today? And start small. If someone opens the door for you, say thank you very much and walk right through that door. And I mean that literally.
I do too. Acknowledge gracefulness. Right? Acknowledge consideration. Acknowledge respect. Don't take it for granted. And don't assume it will always be there for it. People who do things courteous for you, acknowledge that. Because you're saying, I see you, thank you. And then we all want to say, I'm seen.
And the more we say thank you to
yes.
those things that seem so little, maybe insignificant, the more the universe will start giving us the bigger things that
yes.
we can say yes to. And that's where we create the life of our dreams.
And the life of our dreams is right there. It's waiting for us. But, you know, it's not waiting for someone to download an app or take a pill or anything like this. I've just done a show today on grief. You've got to go through the process. And, you know, when you have a relationship, like we've had two marriages, I've had one and a couple of long-term relationships, when they don't work and that comes to an end, it is a loss. You do have to grieve what was once or what isn't anymore, right? And you have to redefine who you are now, because you're not the same person that went into that relationship, right? So who are you now? And how do you honor yourself so that you don't go down that same path again? And this is where you need someone like you who can help somebody with the tools and the skills of the steps to take. They've got to apply them, right? They've got to in tune along with that universal compass. But having those tools there, when people get to the point, yes, I know I need to leave, but what do I do next? How? And this is where you need that guidance. And you can get that guidance even before you decide to leave and be starting that process so that when you do leave, it isn't so painful or cumbersome.
Yes, we usually know we need to leave well before we start any kind of process. It's how do I put something that feels healthy around this? What is that wrapper for myself so I can be safe, so my kids can be safe, and ultimately, you know, so my partner can go on their way and be happy too. So
Exactly. You know, it's the seeds that we plant and that we water, we nurture. If we get weeds, well, we planted them. So if we want an abundant garden, we have to be very, very conscious of what we plant. And, you know, that's in the present and for the future. Be willing to take that journey, but don't get stuck. You know, you don't, I'm a failure. I had a divorce, you know, the trauma of it. No, you know, it was just a challenge. It was just an event you went through. Don't dramatize the trauma, right? Go through the process of healing. Don't become the victim. Don't become, you know, dramatic about it, because we see this when we watch these reality shows, right? The,
Oh,
you
we
know,
do.
and it's like, it's why are you getting so much pleasure out of watching a train wreck, right?
I'm glad you talked about that, because, and I like that. Don't dramatize the trauma. I love that phrase, Sarah. We get into this mode sometimes of commiserating.
Yes.
Because it feels like this warm blanket. It feels so much easier to commiserate that, oh my, I ruined this, or this is terrible, or feeding into others' drama. Instead, try to pull back. Be careful about gossip. Be careful about agreeing when someone says the dating scene is terrible or the job market's awful. Catch yourself. Instead of agreeing, say, well, you know, I'm trying some new things and I'm hoping they work. At least start with that. It'll kind of shut down that conversation, because if you feed into the drama, the words you use with other people will stay your reality. It will become your reality. So watch how you talk with other people and watch how you talk to yourself.
Oh, 100%. And also, you know, we can address the problem, right? We can address the problem, but what are you going to do about it? Problem, what's your solution? Right? This is the problem. I think we could approach it this way. We could do this if we all did that. And then let other people say, and I think this and I think that. So yes, it's not ignoring the problems out there. It's addressing them with enthusiasm for a solution, an invitation of a solution. So inviting the conversation, have you tried? Have you reached out to Shelley? Have you done this? Right? Because now instead, yes, we know what the problem is. And yeah, I get it off your chest. I know you feel that way. It's good. Good to release it. Now, what do we do to find a solution? And I think that's where, you know, media and TV and everything goes wrong. They love taking a pimple and making it into a volcanic eruption. But then there's nobody there to, you know, direct you from the lava, right? So, and that's what we need is, yes, get it off your chest. You feel like that. I commiserate. I feel you. Now, what is your next step?
Right. Let's raise each other up
Yeah.
instead of staying in that low vibration place. It doesn't help yourself. It doesn't help the other person.
No. Keeps them victimized, right?
And yes.
You can't move forward in that stage of being, and keeps you in trauma. And that will play havoc with your health, with your well-beingness. It will start causing dis-ease in your body, and your body will manifest. Cancer is an 80% emotional disease. And whatever you've got systemic in your body will come out because you're at dis-ease, right? So it is, you don't want to stay there. You know, the one of the problems is you have this trauma. Why would you elect to stay there?
Right. We sometimes elect to stay there because our ego is saying, this is familiar. It's familiar. It's why sometimes we'll even
Or it's
marry
all I'm
someone
worth, all
who's
I'm worth, right?
all
Yeah.
right, or all I'm worth, I don't deserve
Yeah.
anymore. And that's where we have to get to that self-center, that place of love, and say, am I coming at this from a place of fear, or am I coming at this from a place of love? And love yourself first. It is not selfish to love yourself
No,
first. It isn't,
it's
because
essential.
when it is,
Yes.
when you love yourself first, then you're a generous lover to others, to your children, to your family, to your
Your cup
partner.
runneth over, right?
Absolutely.
And the more love you give, the more you generate.
It's
You know,
true.
it is that love just keeps growing. Once you step into that love and you start exuding that love, the heart generates, just keeps on going because it loves the frequency of love, and love is so healing, and so love
Yes.
is so inviting. And it, but you know, for someone to love you in your light, you've got to love yourself. You've got to do the journey, right? And go through the process of healing. And you don't want to go and repeat, right? So what is it that you need to address that attracted that in the first place? And you know, sometimes we have to reset ourselves. Look at that old programming. And like just like we would on a computer, it's outdated, it's slowing the computer down, it needs to go. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge it and go, okay, I'm now deleting you because, but you've got to make sure you have a new program to go in place.
That's where affirmations can
Yeah.
be really important. So I challenge everyone who has been listening to, before they put their feet on the floor in the morning, before they grab the cell phone, ask yourself, what can I do to increase the way I love myself today?
Yes.
And how can I love myself better? And then write out an affirmation. Have an affirmation that you can look at on your bathroom mirror. Maybe it's, my life is full of love and love is coming to me. Or, I know that the right jobs for or the right doors for the next job I want are opening for me.
Yes.
Write it in the positive. Say what you do want and what you know is coming
Yes.
versus what you don't want.
Right.
Always say what you do want.
Feed the possibilities.
Yes, the possibilities are endless. Life is
Absolutely. Feed
exciting.
them. Feed them.
Yes.
Nurture them. But don't dictate what grows.
Right. Don't
Right?
worry about that. How? Don't worry
Yes.
about the end
No.
result, because your journey can take you in a place better than you would
Yes.
have dreamed of. So
Exactly.
know your goals. Maybe you have a goal to save $500 a month. Okay, great. That's a goal that's tangible. No big deal. But then set an intention. Set an intention of, I want to be financially free.
Right.
That's so, it carries a different energy than a goal, and it
Yes.
doesn't focus on the end result. You could become financially free through hundreds of ways.
Right.
So keep it open. Keep it open to love.
Yes.
Keep don't think that the dating app is your only avenue. Say, I'm open to love no matter how it comes to me,
Right.
right? Open yourself up. Don't worry about the how. Let that go.
Yeah. And make sure what you're putting out in your affirmation isn't a thought, but a feeling.
Oh, perfect. Yes. Always the feeling. Feel the feeling as if it has
Yes.
happened.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, your book, The Love Compass, A Girl's Guide to Finding Authentic Love, is out in Amazon. It's in Audible as well, which is absolutely great. But for people, you've got a special a gift that you're giving people. So, will you tell us about that, please? And also, how people find you and what's the process that you take them through?
Oh, thank you for that, Sarah. I enjoyed recording that Audible book, by the way. It was so much fun. So my two giveaways, if you go to my website, which will be in the show notes, but stephanieseek.com, you'll have a pop-up and you can register to receive a free weekly affirmation from me that will just lift you up. And then for those that want to take it a step further, I have a free evergreen calendar. It's a 30-day guide of a step you can take each day for 30 days to up-level your life. I wrote it custom. I'm really excited about it. The way you can get that is just send me an email and put 30-day guide in the subject line. That's all you have to do. So my email is in the show notes as well, but it's stephanieseekauthor@gmail.com.
And seek is SEEK. okay, folks, just to make sure that you're spelling it right there. And Stephanie is with an I. So stephanieseek.com, and then it's stephanieseekauthor@gmail.com for that. I have another site here for you. Love the Sell.
I do. So for those of you who might be more in the business side, entrepreneur side, I've been in corporate sales for 25 years, and I now have my own company, motivating and teaching companies how to help empower their employees to feel more abundant and to help sales teams attract abundance. So if that is also your wheelhouse, I'm happy to help you there. But my process for the personal coaching, Sarah, is we start with values. Mm-hmm. Start with core values. I take you through a process of really centering in on what do I value. Then we go through how you want to feel. And then I create a journey map for you. And week by week, we work on different elements of the journey map to help you attract the love and the life and the career, whatever element that is that you seek. So interesting that my maiden name is Seek. My parents always said, seek and you shall find.
Yes.
And here I am helping people seek their truth. So it all comes together.
Exactly. And the thing is, you know, what you're doing in the business and what you're doing in the business of love, you may be using different verbiage and slightly different techniques, but it's all built from the same foundation. You've got to love what you do in your company, right? You are your business, and people have got to love to want to come to work, and people have want to have want to love the experience they get from that business. So everything is always based in love anyway.
It is. It's all love. It is. It's all based in love. And when we're doing what we love, we're on purpose and opportunities are flowing and doors are opening. If you're not doing what you love, then let's talk about that, because it's never too late to change. There are bridges you can make into different opportunities.
We were born to love. We are made of love. And when we step into love, clarity is seen and felt. And love is that higher frequency and vibration that where you can do no harm to others, to do so would be to harm ourselves. If we could all be courageous enough to step up into love, not only will you change your life, your perspective of life, your interaction with life, with relationships, with every aspect of you, you're also raising the frequency of love in the world that starts healing the planet and healing other people on this planet. So love is essential. Just like oxygen, it is essential in your life. So don't be afraid to step into love.
Love is everything. And when we leave this earth, and when others leave this earth that we love, we always just go back to the love.
Yes.
That's what connects us energetically and spiritually. So be brave, love yourself. You can find the courage to do that more and more. We all can.
Yes. And boy, when you step into that, it is like a very deep breath. It's, you just simply are. I am. And that's it.
I am is enough.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So reach out to you. They can reach out by the email. Again, StephanieSeekAuthor@gmail.com. Her website, StephanieSeek.com. You can download the affirmation. And if you want to receive that 30-day free up level of your calendar, life calendar, I think that's brilliant. You can reach out to her. Go to Love the Sell, because maybe you are wanting to step into business as you're coming out of a relationship. There's so many avenues here that she can help you on. She's on TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn. So reach out to her in any which way. We all need help on our journey of life. We all need help. We need somebody there that's got us along the way, that's got the skills and the tools. And I always say the best teachers are those that have gone through it. Because you know what you needed, so you know what other people need. And you're sharing that wonderful discovery with other people for their self-discovery to love. So thank you so much for stepping into what you're stepping into today.
Oh, Sarah, I have loved our conversation. You are doing phenomenal work. Thank you for having me on today.
I just give everybody a platform to share their beautiful skills and expertise to ignite love and in everybody else. So that's what it's about, sharing it out. The more we share it out, the more we care about, the more we find the solutions that are needed. And boy, do we need them. So please step into love and reach out to Stephanie. Until next time, folks, be loving and kind to yourself. Bye for now. We hope that you enjoyed the show. There are so many more for you here on selfdiscoverywisdom.com. Just go to the podcast tag at the top there and you will see all the many genres and all 3,000 shows ready for your listening. We are here to serve you, to help you on your journey of life, and we know that through inspiration, it begets invitation. We are supported by you, the listeners, and those that we interview. Anything that you can spare us in donation would be greatly accepted, and we do hope that you enjoy the next show.